Travis Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmd.net. Now, from beautiful Icurja, here Kincaid, a Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! It's only fair to warn you, I am totally stoked for this evening. Say it. It is the 22nd day of May, 2017, a Monday. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. That, in fact, is where you go if you'd like to jump in and be a part of the madcap, merry, multimedia, real-time, rollicking, jolly extravaganza that is The Horn chat room. Yes, yes, indeed. Just click on chat room, click on, and pick yourself out a screen name and a password, and you will be immediately greeted and hail fellow well-meted, or hail, is there a feminine version for fellow? I don't know. Anyway, Hoghead will say hi, and so will Jug of Punch, and Labor Man, and Squeaky, and Steve from Georgia Stan, and BT Blom, and you will, of course, be capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a spacing guild master, has folded space to become Sparky HDTV. Yes, he can fold to anywhere in the known universe, Sparky can. Oh, hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. This, like I said, is The Horn for, it's a Moran Monday, all right. But, well, what with the president out there, states on the world stage, bowing, no scraping, but they've been stacking up over the weekend. Let's just say that. They've been stacking up over the weekend. With perfect timing, because he cannot stand not to, he keeps saying, I'm never going to listen again. And so he's invented it. I had the program all set up. Into the inbox comes another trenchant analysis from our friend Brain. On more, we ended with a deficit over the weekend. And that deficit is no more. So very, very kindly to every Brain Monday. Let's see. Yes, let's go through them in order. Thank you very kindly to Sylvia. Hey, Sylvia. I hope the program's coming through okay. Thank you. Thank you to Gail and to Michael. Thank you very much. All of whom are subscribers to the program. Thank you very kindly to Linda. Thank you, Linda, very, very much. Let's see, keep it in. And thank you as well to Carl, longtime subscriber. Thank you to Bernice. Thank you very much indeed. And, of course, to Ralphs. And thanks, to Mark. And to Joan in Talibandiana. And to our buddy Fab. And to Jason, who has been keeping me up to date. And to Gary. Thank you, Gary. Who has been keeping me up to date with the goings-on with the California Democratic convention, the state convention there. So, like I said, I can happily report that we have no deficit this evening. And so we'll just try to raise the typical ordinary evenings, 10 at 20, 20 at 10, 1 at 2, 2 at 1, 4 at 50, 8 at 25, 16 at 12, 50, 32 at 6 and a quarter, or, of course, there's always 64 at $3.13, because we'll round up from 12 and a half and put the half penny back toward Agnes's massage professional. Yes. And I'm sorry, I guess buffering is something we're going to be dealing with a little bit from time to time here. Your mileage may vary. I'm working on some solutions. And, you know, it's one of those things where you have to eliminate this and posit that and theorize the other thing. I don't know. It could be that the streaming... Because, like I said, you'd have to know what we're using in order, but I'm seeing the buffering on the wrong side, and that tells me that it may be the streaming PC that's going out. Maybe next time, hit the lottery or something, we'll try an iMac for the streaming PC, but it seems kind of sad and pathetic, simply because all the streaming PC does is stream. That's it. Doesn't do anything else. That was the design of the studio, going all the way back to when the studio was designed, that you wanted the stream to just go out and be the only thing that it had to do was run the stream. So, anyway, thank you to everybody who got us to where we're going. The mailing address, for those of you who prefer to use the United States Postal Service, is The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, Beckley, WV25801. Saturday was supposed to be monsoon season and thunderstorms, and turned out to be drop dead beautiful. Yesterday was kind of rainy, but it was overcast, and there was this lovely cool breeze going. So I got out with the weed eater. And went to work on the acre, which has been, well, we had so much rain during April and March that there was just no getting after it. And so I waded into a sea of grass. And it's not very environmentalist of me, but damn, I love the smell of two-cycle smoke in the afternoon. Smells like victory. But that's what I've been, and making progress. It's really the first time I've been able to get out and do stuff in the warmth of the sun, and got my hillbilly overalls on and my red bandana do-rag, and just working and sweating, and it's energizing, I tell you, energizing. Maybe it's got something to do with those 42 grams of protein shakes that Dr. Allen turned me on to. Those things will load you up. I can't go out and run 50 miles every morning like Dr. Allen does, but it does seem to provide a good bit of energy. Okay. Thank you, Jason. By the way, a note for listeners to the program via TuneIn. Jason says the streaming defaults to the 64K baud rate, but the option for 16K, which puts only a quarter of the load on your server, still sounds fine on 16K. So, thanks for that. Because sometimes it defaults down to 8K, and that's when I get notes from people telling me it sounds like the Bob in a Barrel program. And that's without even without using the reverb and sending Lassie to tell Timmy that, yeah, right. So yeah, I'm stoked. I'm excited for the program. I think the exercise had something to do with it. Or maybe I've just gotten a particularly energizing batch of yogurt. That parsnip rutabaga yogurt. I mean, that'll set you right. But Yeah, it's the beginning of the week, and the beginning of the week means something around here.
You've got to remember that these are just simple farmers. These are people of the land. You know, morons.
Hurry, hurry, hurry. Step right up, step right up. You will not believe your ears. It's Moran Monday on the horn. Right here, right behind this thin cybernetic veil of canvas, just a few mere steps off the Carnival Midway. You'll find them. We've got them all behind this thin cybernetic veil of canvas. We've got birthers, deathers, ninthers, baggers, birchers, booger eaters, trumpanzees. We've got Republicans. We've got libertarians. We've got the entire bizarre panoply of the right white wing, all here for your delectation, your amazement, your fascination, your horror, and your disgust. That's right. You can't tell the morons without a program, and this is the program that tells the morons you just can't tell them much. What a bargain it is. Your admission price of, not really a price, it's a donation bucket. Yeah, sometimes we wind up with torn up ticket stubs, but that's okay. Anyway, the average horn listener who kicks in for $10 a month winds up being only out for something like 16 cents per hour of programming. And there is nothing, I tell you nothing, there in your local Rippy Mart that you can get for 16 itsy-bitsy tiny cents. So, come on in. A word of warning, a word to the wise. Of course, a word to people with the children, small animals, pets, even that iguana that you won throwing ping pong balls at goldfish bowls, European-style messenger bags, wallets, spouses. Keep a close hand on them all, because being right white wingers, they can get a little grabby. Head for the hills or you'll be up to your armpits in morons. And I had a stack of morons, I really did. But I am going to give Brain pride of place. I know, I'll get an email. Bob, don't encourage Brain. And I just want you to know that using all caps, Brain did manage this time to spell his first name correctly, which tells me that he's been thinking about it for a while. But I'm sorry, Brain. It stuck. Especially when you write things like this. Oh, my Jesus. But the subject line, Trump is not guilty. At least it wasn't in all caps. Bob, period. What's going to happen when, all caps, don't know why, the special prosecutor concludes his investigation and exonerates Trump? This whole fake Russia scandal is going to unravel and blow up in the corrupt Democratic Party's face. And it's about time the Dems go away for once and for all, so a third party can finally rise up and move the country forward. That and the pending class action lawsuit will serve them right. You're so unhinged about Putin and Trump, you suffer from Trump derangement syndrome. All caps. Wait a minute. This is, sorry, all caps. Might want to turn things down a little bit. Hillary lost because she was an awful candidate, not because of the Russians. You neoliberal Clinton apologist. Wait a minute, I did that wrong. Neoliberal! I'm going to sign Brian F. Thanks for making the effort, Brain. What are we going to do today, Brain? Yeah, see, it's a... don't y'all encourage him either. Daggummit. Hoghead in the chat room. Brain's back! Woohoo! Well, let's take a quick run through Brain's attempt at analysis, okay? This won't take too terribly long, because we've got a show to do. But Brain, when the special prosecutor concludes his exaggeration or in his investigation, I was trying to help you there, buddy, his investigation and exonerates Trump. Well, he may exonerate him to the extent that a special prosecutor can do that of directly colluding with the Russians during the campaign. But you know what? It'll be, you know, there. Nixon was exonerated of actually participating in breaking into the Democratic National Head Committee headquarters in the Watergate office building, too. And no one ever said that Nixon was personally involved when they busted into Daniel Ellsberg's psychiatrist's office, either. But it's what happened after. In D.C., they have a saying, it's not the crime that gets you, it's the cover-up. And in this case, Brain, if I can call you that, Brain. Well, it's pretty well indisputable that Trump admitted that he fired James Comey in order to stop the Russia investigation. Now, even if it turns out that every one of the people being investigated are pure as the driven slush, which they're not, still, the attempt to quash the investigation itself is very likely an impeachable offense. And then there's the issue of the emoluments clause, which still hasn't been dealt with, and which Trump has been in violation of since the moment his hand came off the Bible on January 20th, 2017. And which he, incidentally, violated again this weekend. Somebody really does need to explain to him that emoluments are not some sort of slickety oily stuff that you rub on Russian hookers. Or not. Brain, you did see him violate the emoluments clause again, didn't you? You saw him accept that 24-karat gold, solid gold braided necklace, tacky-ass braided necklace that looks like some sort of bling from some gangsta rapper wannabe. You saw that, right? And I trust you did see the little curtsy he gave after receiving. No, he did. He curtsied. You saw the curtsy. Donald J. Trump is America's prettiest little princess, is the prettiest little princess we've had since, since Shirley Temple did it back in the 30s. He gave that little curtsy there. And frankly, over the course of the weekend, the looks from King Salman of the Royal Majestic Noble Graciousness House of Ibn Saud, our friends, the good headloppers, our partners in peace. I mean, the side eyes that he gave Donald Trump were for the ages. And by the way, in the speech that he gave, Trump did, He read his speech very slowly so that they could hear him well. I mean, the speech had been published for the better part of a day. They do that in part because it gives the translators an opportunity to translate it so that they can read it with him in real time. but he did. It was almost like the Dramamine hadn't quite worn off. Ah, courtesy of Carol Baker, Queen of the Minions. All caps. Stop telling Brain how to democracy, Bob! Obligatory caps lock. Carol noting, Brain doesn't listen to your unlistenable show like the Amber Fuhrer doesn't watch Stephen Baldwin mock him on SNL, as is plainly demonstrable by their Twitter feed / emails. Yeah. Well, I don't know. I think you can make an argument that Brain doesn't listen, because he seems to think that I go on and on and on about the Trump-Russia connection when I don't. I mean, generally speaking, when I mention the Russia thing, I always add the caveat that there's nothing to it, because Brush's little pooty poot is just a sweet, cuddly little despot. Yes, he is. He just loves everybody. And the ones that he doesn't love quite as much, he wants to stick in the Lubyanka. Because from the Lubyanka, as they always say, you can see eternity. Because nobody ever emerges alive. He's a sweet little guy, that pooty poot. Oh, big bad Vladdy Daddy. Right? Yeah. But, no, the curtsy. And then, the orb.
Ha!
The orb. I swear, I first saw it when Sandra pointed it out to me on Twitter. I think the direct quote was, "What the fuck is this?" And you look at the picture of the orb. If you've got if you've got an answer, I'm open to know what it is. After the curtsy, and this, by the way, this trip is off to a. Off to a rousing. I mean, there were the cups in Saudi Arabia, and today there were the cups in Israel. The body of Trump's speech in Saudi Arabia, though, it's worth going and reading, because you know what's the, you know what's not there? Any reference to all the head lopping, or any reference to the fact that the Saudis are actually on the other side against us in the fight against ISIS. Mm-hmm. Nope, not a peep. And the fact that Trump said, "Hey, we're definitely not going to bother you about your human rights abuses. Definitely not." And then, as Carol points out, there was that other little moment where Comrade Kumquat told the Israelis, "I just got back from the Middle East." He said this in Israel. As Carol points out, maybe Miss Teen North Carolina can find him a map and the such as. this trip is writing itself. But the orb, that picture. I mean, if you wanted a creepy ass picture to make Alex Jones's head explode, that the orb picture is it. I know we're talking about a visual on the radio. It, still. So you got creepy old King Salman, who, incidentally, not once but twice, no, three times in his speech, Trump referred to as King Solomon. Go back and listen. I shit you not. He called him King Solomon. He did. Because, see, it's Salman, S-A-L-M-A-N. Maybe etymologically, you know, kind of like Shalom and Salam are linguistically kinfolks, because all those actual people are actually kinfolks, and the language comes from the Nilo-Saharan language group, which incidentally is nowhere, you know, particularly near where we're talking about, which gives us an indication of the nature of human migratory patterns, you know, way back, right? But he did. He called him King Solomon. I was really hoping he would show me his mines. Mm-hmm. I mean, he must be King Solomon because he's got like 1,000 wives, just like the other King Solomon did. I wonder if he's Solomon the Second. Meanwhile, a pithy and trenchant observation from our buddy, the Angry Indian. Fuck Trump and the MAGAs. After the glowing orb ceremony, the dipping curtsy, and the war dance with swords debacle, fuck them all. Oh, yeah, there was the sword dance, too. Which involves, as best I can tell, a gang of Saudi guys who really wish they had a fucking beer, walking slowly while holding swords and doing the Texas two-step. Look, you live in a sandbox. What you do for fun is your business. I mean, kind of, but I mean, and they gave Princess Tiny Hands his very own sword too, which he held and just sort of stared off into space with this dopey grin on his mug. The Angry Indian continues, Islamophobia, my fucking arse. These hypocritical bastards aren't worth the spit in my mouth, but I still want it understood. The fucking GOP are goddamn traitors of this country. I have my issues with the U.S., but the fuck if I would disgrace my neighbors like this? Them. Oh, and by the way, Barack Obama, George W. Bush, guess where their first foreign trips abroad were? Mexico and Canada. You know, because they're our next-door neighbors. It's kind of like you get a new president, as you know, you sort of moved into the neighborhood, and you go over and you peck on the door next to you, and you go, hi, I'm new here. Just thought I'd, you know, bring you a box. You know, could I borrow a cup of sugar? And Canada says, you bet, eh? And Mexico says, sí. And, well, that's great. Okay, thank you. And because they're our nearest and dearest neighbors, and some of our, isn't Canada our single largest trading partner, Canada? But no, he went to Saudi Arabia, where he curtsied. Which was so totally not a bow. That was definitely not a bow. You know, the Kenyan Muslim you slurper was bowing all the time, and it was so bad that, like, Trump had to tweet about it and how it was a disgrace. So instead he dipped a cute little curtsy. And if he just had some little skirts that he could have held out, it would have been such a sweet little bob. The interweb tubes were on fire with things like, the Shirley Temple clip. And, of course, Alice in Wonderland with the little blue dress and the little pinafore. And she grabs her little skirts and she gives the little curtsy and... The first time I saw the orb, I thought, you know, that looks like an album cover. If the orb photo does not become some album cover, the first thing into my mind was that it would make a great album cover for like an Electric Light Orchestra reunion album. Because there's that one ELO, like, greatest hits album, whatever, where I presume it's Sinbad or maybe Alibaba, looking into the box, and it's the ELO, right, and the glowing in the face, and then there were several contenders. There was the picture from Charlie Chaplin's The Great Dictator, courtesy of Mark, formerly of San Francisco, now of Texas. Charlie Chaplin with his hand on the globe. That's a nominee. But when you go and look at it, look at the expression on King Solomon's face. Because it's precious. Now, I can't remember. Did the old crazy majestic noble graciousness die, and this guy was next in line, and is he the one who's not particularly all here either? Or is he now gone, and that's supposedly the sane one? I can't keep a straight on. You keep them straight. It's just... Yeah. Clarity reminding us, the chopping off of the heads on the video, it's on my Twitter feed, not for capital offenses, you know, law and order, Sharia style. I'm sure Trump wants to taste some fresh blood. Yeah, that's right, Clarity, the sword dances, Saudi clogging. Right, great, yeah, wonderful, thanks. You bring a hillbilly reference into it, why don't you? What is it? Every time we find some bunch of fucked up, inbred, bizarre, goddamn, twisted, murderous thugs throughout the world, what? People go, oh, hillbillies. I mean, bless his heart. Charlie Pierce today made the remark, we put the clampets in the White House. No. Jed was sharp. Jed was smart. Jed was savvy. You couldn't pull one over on Jed. And Granny had a weather cricket. Let me make this clear. They're the Drysdales. If you want to work with a Beverly Hillbillies reference here, and we can, the Trumps are the Drysdales. Just cluelessly in search of more money. Everybody wants to know what was in the little written paper prayer Tangerine Tiberius put in the Wailing Wall today. To me, it seemed obvious. I mean, I'm sure some people would say, please God, make investigation go away. Or, hey God, did you see my electoral college? When you look at Donald, he is a glob of animated to him, but the desire for wealth. And when he finally got attach a U-Haul to his hearse to try to take some money with him, if he's got any, because I still think he's pretty much broke. And that's true. As Steve pointing out in New York, Jed Clampett made his own. And that's all before they ever even got to Israel. And now there's an international incident because of what happened on the red carpet coming off of Air Force One in Israel. It just got back from the Middle East. And see, that's going to drive the Israel Uber Allahs people crazy, because it kind of confirms the fact, and they hate this, that a lot of people consider Israel to be nothing more than an extension of a European state outposted on the Levant. You know, sort of exactly like the Crusader kingdom of Outremer was, say, in the 11th century CE. And Trump just kind of acknowledged that. He doesn't think of Israel as the Middle East. He thinks of it as a nice, civilized European country. But then, on the red carpet, oh my Jesus, all he and Melanoma had to do was get off the plane, walk along the carpet, and you can watch the video of this again, video on the radio, I know. So he is met there with a Laurel and Hardy handshake by psychopath. See, Trump's a sociopath. Bibi Netanyahu is a psychopath because he enjoys killing people. Bibi and his wife were there to greet Melanoma and the Clementine Caligula. And we've all seen the videos of how he just gets out of the car and goes shambling up to the door, and Melanoma just sort of stays behind and holds the box with the thing for the Obamas at the... What the hell is it for Tiffany's? I don't know. What do I do with this? Until Michelle shows some class and comes and takes it away from her. Right. So as they're walking along, Trump suddenly notices, and you got to understand, he has been lectured, and nobody gets to lecture him. But he has been lectured that the shit is not about to hit the fan. It is in the fan, and it is spraying poo everywhere back at home, mostly on his own presidency. And that he absolutely needs to not fuck up. And so he was paying close attention, and he saw that Bibi was holding his wife's hand as they walked. I mean, it's as plain as day what's going on. Watch the video, but not right now. And so Marcus Aurelius reaches back to try to hold, emphasis on the word try, to hold Melanoma's hand. And she swats that hand away like she's swatting away the hand of a two-year-old reaching into the cookie jar. No! And keeps walking. And the whole world is talking about it. I haven't heard the gang on The View have as much fun maybe ever. But and even Zebulon Pike, who came over from Fox, even she got in on it.
As the first couple just stepped off a plane in Israel hours ago, and there may be no peace in the Middle East between the two of them. In a rare move, he went to hold her hand, which she apparently slapped away.
What I found interesting was the audience response. Because, see, America, even the women who voted for him, know that this man is a serial sexual predator. That, That doesn't sound like, I mean, that wasn't a, ooh. Those were cheers. That was laughter. That was uproarious hilarity.
Wait, do it again. I missed it.
Can we do it again?
One more time. Let's just keep watching it over and over again. Maybe she thought he was reaching over to pinch her on the butt. Maybe she was like, not here. Don't do that here.
She can't stand him.
No, every woman knows what that means. We all know. We've all done
that
it.
That was that flick
we
of the
know,
wrist.
It was like, you mind your business.
Yeah,
you go
when
over
you
there.
Flick that wrist, you're...
Yeah, that was Zebulon Pike there.
Upset.
Right.
Yeah. Well, he always lets her walk behind him. You know, he's such a not a gentleman to the girl.
Wow.
She comes off the plane. She's up there. He's down.
He's done better, though.
He's like a toddler.
He did better recently when they were getting on the plane. He did. They were walking up together, and he let her get into the plane first. I did notice that for this trip, he seems to have done a little bit better.
Well, somebody's coaching him.
Maybe he's listening
somebody
to you.
Should be coaching.
I doubt it.
As the first.
I mean, we had 8 years of Barack Obama, and I don't recall ever seeing Michelle swat his hand away. Then again, Barack Obama didn't have a reputation for having bragged that he likes to grab women in the crotch, so that might be part of it too. Maybe, for all, I mean, she knows him better than we do. For all we know, maybe she thought he was gonna grab her by the right there in, you know, Israel. Yeah, and I heard something was said during Friday on the front porch. And maybe it's true, and I'm not saying that anybody would deliberately say anything that isn't during Friday on the front porch, but I hadn't heard this business about the reason melanoma didn't move to D.C. was because she couldn't pass the security clearance. I mean... That would be unthinkable. The excuse given, of course, was that she was remaining in New York until Barron finished the school year, which is like any time now. But I have another theory. One of the reasons she doesn't want to move to D.C. is because then the Trump administration would have to explain why she insists upon a separate bedroom. I mean, you know, Barack and Michelle shared the same bedroom. I mean, we know at the same bed. We know that Dim Leader and Pickles shared the same bed because Dim Leader wrote a poem for her that referenced it. Remember? Roses are red, violets are blue. My lump in the bed, how I love you. No, really. You do remember that, don't you? It's handy in this instance because George W. Bush actually referred to his spouse as my lump in the bed. We don't know exactly what the arrangement was with the Clintons. We'll just blow past that one, but Pappy Bush and the love child of the Quaker Oats man, they slept in the same bed. Ronnie and Nancy, Jimmy and Rosalind. We have the Betty Ford Center because Gerald Ford and Betty, you know, slept in the same bed. Dick and Pat, Lyndon and Ladybird. Most of the time, John and Jackie, Dwight and Mamie, different situation with FDR and Eleanor, and I'm back to not knowing who Hubert Hoover's wife was, so, but, so, I mean, it, when you consider how the for-profit media reacts to a hand smack. Okay, wait a minute. First cowbell of the evening. No, that's good. From Steve in New York. The Cheneys, you know, Dick and Liz, they shared the same coffin. Yeah, now you understand the cowbell, right? Yeah, no, that's the double cowbell. They shared the same soil from the native home country. And it kind of, you know, it just wouldn't be... I don't know. Maybe would it be a national security secret if they were having to renovate the White House to provide Melanoma with a separate bedroom? You think they okay? Here's another fun one. Do you think they modified the prenup? After he got, not elected, after the Electoral College handed him the White House? Yeah. Meanwhile, a little welcome back to reality, courtesy of Brother Deacon Asa. The media are creaming their pantaloons over this pig getting slapped on his tiny little hand, while not a peep about the Israeli Defense Forces telling said pig that what he's doing in Syria is exacerbating the is-is problem. Oh, isn't that interesting? But it's true. According to Politico, under... letter from Israel. Israeli officers, you're doing ISIS wrong. The United States is headed for disaster in Syria. Some in Israel are warning. Brian Bender writes, Asania Mountain on the Israel-Syrian border. That's the dateline. Oh, the grass clippings are catching up with me. Sorry for the sneeze pause. You didn't want to hear that. The Israeli military is not too impressed with President Donald Trump's escalation against the Islamic State. That, at least, is the distinct impression I got on a recent trip to Israel, including a visit to the Israeli-occupied side of the Golan Heights, that offered a unique vantage point on the hopelessly entangled anarchy that is the Syrian civil war now in its sixth year. In the view of the Israeli military and intelligence units I visited over several days in late April, the U.S. strategy in Iraq and Syria may be making the situation only worse. We're radicalizing the local population, spreading the hardest core militants to sow havoc in neighboring Lebanon, which the officers I spoke with fear may already be on the verge of collapse, and in Jordan. Still others are escaping the onslaught to Europe and possibly America. Israeli Army Brigadier General Ram Yavneh said, I'm not sure it will be easy to defeat ISIS as you're claiming to do. Mm-hmm. And then there's the other little tidbit. After the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini outed an intelligence asset, was that last week or week before last? It all runs together now. news media made a point of mentioning that no one knew whose intel it was, and we speculated here on the Horn. I remember, like I said, Israelis. Ron in the somewhat thawing north said the Brits, and Flavio said, hey, why can't it be the French? And it turned out I was right. It was the Israelis. So what does Trump do? Well, of all the people to catch it, over at Fox News TV Radio Rwanda, where they're still in mourning for Roger Ailes, Shepard Smith noticed a little something.
That was the message today, one of them from President Trump in Israel, the latest leg of his first foreign tour since he took office. President Trump arrived in Tel Aviv this morning and headed on into Jerusalem. He said that there has been tremendous progress in bringing together Israel, Saudi Arabia, and other Arab nations. He also blasted President Obama's nuclear deal with Iran and said the Islamic Republic should be grateful.
Instead of being thankful and saying thank you, because they were in serious trouble, I think they would have failed, totally failed, within 6 months. We gave them a lifeline, and we not only gave them a lifeline, we gave them wealth and prosperity. And we also gave them an ability to continue with terror.
Ability to continue with terror. This is the president's, among the president's events today, visiting of the Western Wall. President Trump became the first sitting American president to visit that holy site. More on that, its importance, and the details ahead. The president also visited the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, which Christians say they believe is the site of Jesus' crucifixion and tomb. President Trump addressed a recent controversy as well at a meeting with the Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. President Trump responded to reports that he may have jeopardized an Israeli intelligence source by sharing highly classified information with the Russians in the Oval Office.
I never mentioned the word or the name Israel. Never mentioned it during the conversation. They were all saying I did. So you had to know the story wrong. Never mentioned the word Israel.
That's not what they reported. The Washington Post newspaper and others reported on the sharing of the intelligence. None ever claimed that President Trump identified the source as an Israeli. They never reported that he identified them. Though apparently he just did.
Oh, wait a minute. I don't think we've ever given a cowbell to audio, especially not from Fox News TV Radio Rwanda. That's straight out of a cheesy TV drama. Ah, but sir, just one more question, sir. When I told you that the victim was found lying face down in a pool of blood, I didn't tell you that there was a knife in his back. You mentioned the knife in his back, sir. How is it that you knew about the knife? That's kind of what I'm wondering here. Mm-hmm. And once again, picture tells a thousand words. Sorry, it's radio. Maybe this is an argument for doing video, but I don't think so. Yeah, you don't want to see me sitting here in my weed-eating overalls. And no. The thing with the is when he's sitting, because BB's facial expressions let you know that he's going, oh, fuck. I thought they told him not to say that he did. Oh, Moses. Don't! Because he's got one of those, well, fuck me running looks on his face. You know it. We've all made that. Oh, no. So, there's that. And then, you know, there's some other stuff. Like the fact that Ivanka. She had a meeting with high-ranking women in Saudi Arabia, women in business. This was all part of Ivanka. You know, something. It's you know, when you've got a little daughter, and let's say she's your only daughter. I mean, Ivanka isn't, but you know, when you go traveling, you daughter, son, whatever, you come back, you try to bring some little thing for your kids. And in this particular case, every time Trump sits down with a foreign leader, Ivanka has to get a present. Remember when the Chinese premier was at Mar-a-Lago? Next thing we knew, Ivanka had got hundreds of millions of dollars worth of exclusive trademarks from the Chinese government. Well, she's coming away from the Saudi visit with $100 million ice cold cash, courtesy of King Solomon and the United Arab Emirates. It's going to go to her foundation. Now, bear in mind that if we were talking here about Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton, oh my Jesus God, Goldman Sachs speeches. Oh, email servers. There would be a full-on conniption over, over in the maniac quarters of the so-called left. But now Ivanka just shook down the King of Saudi Arabia and the majestic, noble, high, gracious, sereneness of the UAE for $100 million for her foundation that supports women. Wait a minute. Women in business. Exactly. Wait a minute. And, as Labor Man says in the chat room. Clinton Foundation, Bruga Bruga. Meanwhile, yes, wait a minute, Carol. Meanwhile, Tiffany says, all I got was this lousy MAGA hat. I think we know who Daddy loves best, don't we? He's not bringing $100 million home for the Tiffany Trump Foundation now, is he? No. And, of course, people noticed that the only women that Ivanka met with were women who had male guardians and were allowed to engage in business. Not a peep about the massive the massive degree of unemployment and the abuse of women that thank you, Steve. Stop telling people what Trump Foundation is support, Bob. This thing is a mess. This whole trip, they left on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We're on like day three or three and a half, maybe four. Yeah, let's see. It's 4 a.m. or so in Israel right now, so we got about 2 hours tops before he gets up and starts twooping. Oddly enough, I think somebody... Oh, I'm sorry, sir. I know. We were supposed to bring your cell phone, but you know, we set it right next to the nuclear football, and well, we forgot that too. Gosh darn it! I'm sorry. If only we wish. And by the way, do you remember a few years back? And, you know, it's always embarrassing when an American... I want to be clear about this. It is always embarrassing when an American president goes to Saudi Arabia and, you know, kisses the ring, or in George W. Bush's case, they come here and he kisses the mouth, whatever, of that the brutal dictator who kills his own people. And it sounds better when Bush says, hey, a brutal dictator who kills his own people. but they're good brutal dictators who kill their own people. They're the good headloppers because they've got lots of money and they prop up our military industrial complex with things like $100 billion arms deals. And by the way, we're all pretty sure now that Jared Kushner is the person of interest in the ongoing investigation, and he's the one who supposedly got a deal, a bargain, for the Saudis. He got him a price break on the bombs and the missiles and the jets and whatever. Maybe we sold him some of those, what is it, the F-35? Maybe we sold him some of those flying paperweights, maybe to counteract the ones that, like, Australia decided it wasn't so crazy about and didn't buy as many of. I seem to remember that. Robert, the angry architect, can correct me on it, but didn't Australia decide they didn't want so many flying paperweights? Maybe the Saudis are going to take them off our hands, you know, for cheap. But all of that, and do you remember when Barack and Barack Obama went over? And do you remember everybody from Rush Limbaugh to Alex Jones to the Hannity job to Mark Levin, the man with a voice made for print, O'Reilly, you know, they all had an absolute goddamn conniption because Michelle Obama didn't cover up her head in Saudi Arabia. Well, guess what? Melanoma and Ivanka didn't either. Harlots. Interesting, however, that because she's a convert, when they got to Israel, Ivanka did put on her sacred headgear. Because, you know, you have to wear the right hat or your imaginary friend won't love you. Go figure with the imaginary friends. They have strange standards. Ivanka also, and Melanoma, decided not to court controversy by not going to the Porsche. See, in Israel, stop telling people what female heads need to be covered, Bob. And see, it's all about the hair. The holy books are chock-a-block with how distracting women's hair is to, because, you know, I guess if you're really serious about your invisible friend, that you know, oh my God, would you look at her hair? I mean, you what? In the ancient, all men were repressed hairdressers. Oh my stars, look at that hair. I tell you what, if an interesting have an interesting hairdo, I don't know what the world's coming to. No, oh, that's never gonna do. Bobby Pence, please. We're gonna. But there's a controversy. The greatest democracy in the Middle East, the only democracy in the Middle East, Israel, are partners in peace, along with those good head loppers, the Saudis. Well, see, for all intents and purposes, I mean, for God's sakes, who can pray in front of which pile of pile of rocks actually made it all the way to the Israeli Supreme Court. No shit, really. The Israeli Supreme Court that chimed in on who can pray where. See, isn't it great when you've got a state-sponsored religion? We wouldn't want it. You wouldn't want any of that old separation of church and state. I mean, silly idea. No, they did. And so Ivanka and Melanoma, instead of standing up for women in Israel, compliantly and docilely went over to where the filthy women are supposed to pray. The little ghetto portion, the vagina wall. Yeah. It's also frustrating. And after this, he flies off to go and meet Pope Frank. Oh, but not before he caused more consternation, because there were some severely pissed off people. And this part I understand, because he only did 15 minutes at Yad Vashem, which is probably, to my way of thinking about it, one of the most significant places in all of Israel. Just about everything else going on there is part of somebody's mythology. But the Holocaust was real. And the Yad Vashem Memorial is the Israeli Holocaust Museum Memorial. And Donald Trump, you know, definitely go there for 15 minutes, I'll go there for, it'll be, and of course the Holocaust was horrible. It was a horrible, terrible Holocaust. Did you guys see my Electoral College victory? And people were pissed off saying, what? He can't even spend a half hour to remember the millions of dead, this guy? No. Because the dead don't have money to give to Donald Trump. Are we clear? The Saudis, they got a couple of days. Because they had some money. The whole thing with the orb was the new King Salman International Saudi Center for World Peace. And that's where the orb is. Yeah. So the meeting with Pope Frank ought to be kind of interesting, considering the tawdry and shitty things that Geezer Disgustus said about Pope Frank when Pope Frank said he was not a Christian. Which he isn't. I mean, if Donald Trump's a Christian, then I am too. We all know I'm not a Christian, right? Okay, good. So, and you know when I saw the curtsy, that little beep, Bob, it's so cute. At least you know when a. You know, when a little girl does it at her first confirmation, it's sweet because, you know, she's worked on it. And but you'll see that like at confirmations and stuff. And women do that little dip bob thing when they get their sacred glass of grape juice and their holy zwieback. And did Melanoma punk him on the plane?
No, Hobby, no. When you meet King of Saudi Arabia, You must do the right thing. You must give him little dip. Do not bow head. Because remember, we tweeted about how Barack Obama, the Kenyan Muslim usurper, bowed to Saudi king. You can't bow. You must dip head. And that's how the curtsy came to be. Really? And of course, it is driving the right wing nuts. The white wingers are calling him President Cuck over on Twitter. On Saudi trip, Trump using violent extremism, not Islamic terrorism, bowing to the Saudi king, Rex condemning Iran. What a cuck! They're not at all pleased. He's been neutered, they've been saying. Yes. Now let's check a little bit of mail. Ron and Raleigh with a note. Hey, Bob, my question is, why is Bibi saying that he's so optimistic about the chances of peace in the Middle East? The pumpkin potentate is selling the Palestinians down the river on new settlements and everything else the Israelis want. Also, isn't this dumbass setting us up for a war against Iran on Israel's behalf? Well, yeah. I mean, at your point? Despite what Brain says, the warmer the fire gets on Princess Pumpkin's toes, the hotter that fire gets, the nearer we will get to, a war. And frankly, if we're taking odds here, I'll say Iran, and then Israel will stay all the way out of it, because that would only make it worse, kind of like we did with Iraq right. And you know why? Because North Korea has nukes. Remember, our national symbol is the eagle. An eagle never attacks anything its own size or that could possibly fight back meaningfully and would just as soon eat something already dead. That's the eagle. Majestic as hell flying around, but its culinary habits leave a little something to be desired. So, consequently, Iran. And plus, we can run a few aircraft carriers up into the Straits of Hormuz so that they can use some of their ship-sinking missiles, ship-killer missiles, to sink a couple of ships and cripple them in the Straits of Hormuz and bottleneck up the Straits of Hormuz. Strategery, right? Meanwhile, a note from Matt in San Francisco. Subject line, corruption. In a strange gallows humor sort of way, I appreciate this administration's forthright and unapologetic way of simply ignoring all moral pretense. The gloves are off. We do what we please, and you peons just go ahead and try to stop. I often wondered how the French people were driven to a place where cutting off the ruler's head was a reasonable and desirous outcome. The Drumpf Bunch has driven me to fantasizing about shopping for a blade sharpener that matches the guillotine. Really hope I live to see this bunch pay for all their crimes. I don't think that makes me a bad person. I prefer to think of myself as optimistic. Well, I was sitting there watching those thugs dancing around with their cutlery, and that nasty old majestic, high, serene, noble graciousness. And me, I was thinking about a quote that is attributed to the French philosopher Denis Diderot. Men will never be free until the last king is strangled with the entrails of the last priest. And that was Diderot talking about Christianity. But that little thought, it has transferability. Because I don't think that could be any more true anywhere on earth than in Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia that'll take the $110 billion worth of bombs and guns and bullets and missiles and planes and trains and whatever, and use it to slaughter some more innocent men, women, and children in Yemen. Mm-hmm. And then, because it's Moran Monday, well, this. I noticed this past weekend, as we were being internationally embarrassed by this gang of petty two-bit grifters. In addition to noting that the harlots were not wearing their headgear, I saw this little round pig-eyed freak who looks a little bit like, who's the guy who played, Princess Bride? Inconceivable, that guy. He looks like him, only evil. Never gamble with a Sicilian when the stakes are death. Wilbur Ross. I'm predisposed to despise Wilbur Ross because, in the same sense that Don Blankenship was responsible for incinerating 29 miners at Upper Big Branch, Wilbur Ross was responsible for the death of 12 miners at Sago. He's a hillbilly killer. And he was there, the Secretary of Commerce in the noble, majestic, serene, high, gracious kingdom of Saudi Arabia. You know, I'd love to travel the world. I really would. Ah, Vizzini. Thank you, Marty. Wallace Shawn, thank you. See, that's what makes this all so fun. The entire Horn Family Community Congregation is one great big research department. Oh, no, that's just nasty, Asa. Asa says, by the way, I'm willing to bet that Ivanka had to sleep with King Solomon for the $100 million. Anybody out there willing to take the other side of my wager? How much you putting down? And, yeah. Oh, okay. I thought you guys... Okay, a note from Robert in Australia. F-35 Joint Strike Fighter, otherwise known as the Flying Paperweight. I'm unable to find any recent news about Australia reducing its F-35 order. We do make an optical component for the F-35, which employs about 70 people. The Australian Navy said 2 years ago they weren't keen on it, as they'll have to modify their ships to accommodate it. That's all I could find. Hey, my memory has flaws, but thank you for the update, Robert. No, Wilbur Ross was there, and he was just having a fine old time in the majestic, noble, high, gracious kingdom. When Trump arrived, he was greeted by seeing his orange mug literally projected giant size onto the side of a skyscraper and billboards all over the majestic, serene, high, noble, gracious kingdom talking about what a wonderful guy he was. It was a despot's wet dream. And then the best part of it, according to Wilbur Ross,
this is a question I had. You've got the new, he's not crown prince, but he's, I think, deputy crown prince, who seems to be closer to Western sensibilities in a lot of ways. In the past in Saudi Arabia, we've had this sort of, in the background, this backing of that of the Wahhabi sect, and people always talk about there's this money that goes into, you know, working against all of our goals, probably the extremist sect. Do you feel that they're starting to de-emphasize that and really do want to liberalize society? I know women they could be driving as early as this summer, and you know they had a concert where they usually you wouldn't have music like that. I mean, does it seem like they're moving in that direction, and will that work?
Well, I think it's very much moving in that direction. In fact, one of the sessions where a lot of contracts were awarded, there were also some panel discussions. And one of the panelists was the woman who now is the head of the Saudi Arabian Stock Exchange. That's a very unusual event. It's, to my knowledge, the first time a woman has been the head of an exchange in that region. And for sure, it's the first time in Saudi. And several of the other panels, one of them being on venture capital, also had a very bright, very attractive young woman. So I think on that side of things, clearly there's a big sea change underway.
How the hell could he tell she was a very bright, very attractive Saudi woman when she had to be wearing the goddamn beekeeper suit? What, did he judge her by her fucking wrists?
There's no question that they're liberalizing their society. And I think the other thing that was fascinating to me...
I forgot. Hockey puck warning. Hockey puck warning, please.
That they're liberalizing their society. And I think the other thing that was fascinating to me, there was not a single hint of a protester anywhere there during the whole time we were there. Not one guy with a bad placard. Instead...
You know why, Wilbur? Because if you criticize the government over there, they cut your goddamn head off. Because they're barbarians. Because they're lost in the... shit. 23rd century BCE. Because they're barbarians. Like I said, a trip to Saudi Arabia. I'd love to travel the world. There's not many parts on this planet that I would not like to see. You could not pay me to set foot in Saudi Arabia. You couldn't pay me. Nope. There's very few places on the planet you could not pay me to set foot. Saudi Arabia is one. Israel's the other. Just nope. But it was a despot's wet dream.
No protesters. Not a guy with a bad placard in sight. Trump didn't have to tell his thugs and bully boys to beat anybody up at all. Yeah.
Jesus, how clueless do you have to be to go on television and brag about the fact that there were no protesters? Oh, let's haul out this greatest hit from back around the Iraq War. Why does he hate America? Because I'm not kidding. They cut people's heads off for things. I mean, look, I know we engage in capital punishment too. Maybe there's an argument to be made that the Saudis are just less hypocritical about it. They do it out in the public square with a guy with a sword, and whoop, and the head rolls. You know, they're doing stuff, like I said the other night, that we were doing 600 years ago. I don't know. But then again, we don't. Okay. So we execute some people who are arguably, not even arguably, absolutely innocent of the crime for which they were convicted. We try as hard as we can to, in some states, execute people who were not, who were mentally disabled. We do that. But you know what we don't do? We don't cut people's heads off for, say, we don't cut a nanny's head off when a little baby, precious, majestic, royal, high, gracious princeling dies of sudden infant death syndrome. The Saudis do that. They are fucking barbarians. And, yeah, the business about Wahhabism, yeah. If there's, you know, whatever brand of Islam, and there are many brands, and by the way, while he was over there, President Pretty Pretty Princess actually did something we've never done before. He jumped in on a debate that's been going on for about 1,400 years. And by debate, I mean with massive amounts of bloodletting. As to who the true heir of Muhammad the Prophet really is. Is it his nephew? Or his third cousin? Because that is whence comes the split between Shia and Sunni. The Shia believe one thing, the Sunni believe the other. And given the opportunity, they will slaughter the hell out of each other over who's right. Not even dim leader took a hand in that game. Trump?
Yeah, definitely deal the cards. Deal the cards. I love it when they deal the cards.
He just played three-card Monte in Saudi Arabia and lost his shirt. Oh, and by the way, in the middle, and all his speechifying about how all the Muslims need to be peaceful and everything, you would never have known there was a to listen to the speech word for word live in real time as I did. You would never have known that there was a single Muslim in the United States. Not one. Ha-ha. So we're at the halfway point of the program, and I think we can be done with all this now. It took me an hour and 32 minutes, but I think I have worn the topic out. Ron, it occurred to me. Ron and Raleigh says, you know what this reminds me of? Two things: the Beverly Hillbillies trip to England, and similarly, the Married with Children trip to the Bundy ancestral home. The only difference is that those were funny. Mm-hmm. So, we're at the halfway point of the program. We try to raise $200 every evening. This evening is no different. And we're at zero. That's okay. But we are. We're at zero. So, just saying. Breaking news. And I don't really know. I mean, there's not a lot more to report at this point. There was an Ariana Grande concert in England this evening. And police in Manchester said there were numerous fatalities, as well as injury casualties. When something exploded at the arena where Ariana Grande was performing. The most we have is statements by witnesses who were at the concert who said they heard what sounded like explosions at the end of the show. And beyond that, nothing. Ariana Grande concert, Manchester, England. Fatalities. And that's as much as there is to say. One report says 20 dead and 100 injured, according to early reports. Thank you, Clarity. So it's about 25 before the hour. Well, the lines are open. This is Conversation Radio. It's not Philibobster Radio. And if you'd like to join in, I heartily encourage you so to do. How to reach the program? Why, yes, I'll be happy to tell you how to reach the program. On the one hand, you can dial the stress line. Named for Bill, Mr. Stress Miller, gone but not forgotten. 304-663-4676. 304-663-HORN. The other line, we'll just call it the other line. 304-574-8178. 304-574-8178. And from anywhere on the planet, Bob Kincaid Horn. BobKincaidHorn. Bob Kincaid Horn. If you'd like to jump into the conversation. And I think it would be a darn, well, it usually is a darn fine time when folks do. Okay. And that having been said, this is listener supported. I'm Bob.
into the future. Time keeps on slipping, slipping into the future. Like an eagle in my sleep, who don't have enough to eat, shoot my feet. How's the people living in the street? Oh, there's a solution.
Did you know that time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future? Living proof in the fact that when last we spoke, it was 7:35 and now it's 7:40. Damn. Amazing. Science! So there's stuff to deal with Michael Flynn, who was just trying to be good, be good neighbors with... sweet, cuddly Pootie Poot, about whom there is no controversy whatsoever, because who could have controversy with a guy as nice as Pootie Poot? I mean, Dim Leader looked into his soul, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm just watching some technical details flow across. TuneIn just defaulted down to the 8K Bob in a Barrel stream, so I don't know why. And although I don't know why, I still feel compelled to apologize. I wish I had an answer. It is Moran Monday. And while we have had our fun with... the terrible toddler's trip abroad, there is stuff to deal with here at home. You know, morons. Steve from Georgistan saying everything else has died. Does that mean all the White Rose streams are down? But HeadOn.live is still running. But if you were listening on the White Rose stream and the White Rose stream is down, that's not much help. Still, in terms of future, I mean, Asa tells me that the alternative stream will be there from now on. So anytime that the White Rose stream or TuneIn goes down, you can always go to HeadOn.live and use that stream, courtesy of Asa. Thank you, Asa. I start those two streams at the beginning of every program now. No, other things. Being Moran Monday,
let's take a trip down to Mozuppi. You know, there is a great controversy manufactured about the removal of memorials to Confederate traitors. Well, you know, traitors to the United States by virtue of becoming Confederates and, you know, waging war against the United States. The South is dotted with them. Virtually every day of my life growing up in Alabama, or at least every couple of days, I would drive past the county courthouse, where there was, of course, a statue up on a great big pediment of a life-size Confederate soldier. He wasn't any particular Confederate soldier. He was just a sort of generic asshole. And moreover, it's probably not going to be, sure, it would be possible, but that's not as likely to be taken down. But statues of people like the traitor Robert E. Lee, or the traitor Jefferson Davis, for whom our current Attorney General Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions III was named. Or, for instance, a statue of Pierre-Gustave Toutant Beauregard, for whom our Attorney General is also named. Those can and should be removed. But it is causing no small amount of Sturm und Drang among certain very pale people in places like Mozuppi. In particular, Republican Representative Carl Oliver of Money, Mozuppi, is very upset. Now, for those of you unfamiliar with Money, Mississippi, and people who are familiar with the civil rights struggle are probably going to also be familiar with Money, Mississippi. Money, Mississippi is the little community in Mozuppi where Emmett Till got lynched. You remember Emmett Till? So badly disfigured that his mother insisted upon an open casket, and so she said, "I want everybody to see what they did to my boy." 15 years old, Emmett Till, when he was attacked by a bunch of white people for a crime that the alleged victim, a white woman, later admitted she completely made up. It was a complete lie. And a 15-year-old boy was murdered, but first tortured for having committed. Like I said, we do kill people in this country who are innocent of the crimes with which they did. Problem was, what Emmett Till did was not a crime. No. Well, the city of New Orleans took down the last of its monuments to traitors. And a man named Carl Oliver, who represents Money, Mississippi, took to the Facebook to share his sense of high dudgeon. He said, and this is a quote, "The destruction of these monuments erected in the loving memory of our family and fellow Southern Americans.
Wouldn't that be South Americans? Bolivia? What? Okay, no, stop it.
And bear in mind, all of these monuments that are all over the South generally say something like, erected this 4th day of July, 1910, by the United Daughters of the Confederacy.
Okay, this isn't... So, in other words, you know, a good 45, 50 years after the cessation of hostilities.
Well, the cessation of formal hostilities. Informal hostilities were still continuing. All of these memorials are manifestations of a term coined by Van Jones called whitelash. All of these monuments were put up as a reminder to people of color to stay in their place. Because this is also during the heyday of the Klan, the Knight Riders, the White Citizens Councils, and what have you. But when the last of the treason memorials were removed in New Orleans, representing Carl Oliver said, "The destruction of these monuments, erected in the loving memory of our family and fellow Southern Americans, is both heinous and horrific."
Really? Heinous? Heinous? Heinous. That's a mighty big word for a dumbass white man like Carl Oliver to be using. And to use it in that context, it must have a pretty specific meaning. Wouldn't you say? Why, goodness me. Heinous and horrific. According to the dictionary, heinous means hatefully or shockingly evil. That, according to the folks at Merriam-Webster.com. Hatefully or shockingly evil. The root term being evil. The modifier, the adverbial modifiers being either hatefully or shockingly. So let us replace the use of the word heinous in this sentence with its dictionary definition. The destruction of these monuments, erected in the loving memory of our family and fellow Southern Americans, is both hatefully evil and horrific. Okay. The destruction of these monuments, erected in the loving memory of our family and fellow Southern Americans, is both shockingly evil and horrific. I don't agree with Mr. Carl Oliver of Money, Mississippi. Good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, homosexual, fundamentalist, Republican Christian that I'm sure he is. I don't agree at all that there's anything shockingly evil about removing a statue dedicated in an era of racism to racists. I may be wrong. If you tell me that there is a statue somewhere in, say, Germany of Dr. Goebbels or of, you know, Adolf Hitler,
or Goering, Albert Speer. If you tell me that those are in Germany, and I may have to rethink my position. If you can show me where there's a statue in Japan of Tojo, maybe I'll have to rethink things. But that wasn't all that representing Carl Oliver of Money, Mississippi, good God, fear, and upstanding Bible, believing Christ, and evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual Republican had to say on the Facebook. Because after declaring the removal of the statuary to be shockingly evil, I mean, Jesus, shockingly evil? I reserve that for shooting up a nightclub. I reserve that for a government that lops the heads off of nannies. I reserve that for countries that drop precision-guided munitions smack dab onto the cradles of newborns. Shockingly evil. I reserve that for governments that, oh, I don't know, gas millions of people to death. Hatefully evil. Am I anywhere close? I mean, I reserve that for psychopaths who lure people to their homes and then kill them and chop them up and put them in the freezer and snack on them once in a while. Shockingly evil. I'm sure we could come up with a lot of other examples. Yeah, but not representing Carl Oliver of Money, Mississippi. Because that wasn't all he wrote. The entirety of the quote is as follows. The destruction of these monuments erected... I love that he used erected. He probably gets erected himself when he thinks about them. And what they stood for. And that's part of the problem. The destruction of these monuments, erected in the loving memory of our family and fellow Southern Americans, is both heinous and horrific. If the, and I use this term extremely loosely, leadership of Louisiana wishes to, in a Nazi-ish fashion, burn books or destroy historical monuments of all caps, our history, they should be, all caps, lynched. Let it be known, I will do all in my power to prevent this from happening in our state. Notice that the term he uses loosely is leadership, not Nazi-ish. If there was a Moran Monday Hall of Fame, this pasty-faced, doughy, sorry son of a bitch would have to be in the top 10. And this program's been on the air for a while. We got a lot of Morans. In my father's house are many Morans. And this guy has just rocketed to Moran Monday superstardom. He refers to the removal of a goddamn monument
as hatefully evil, and then finds nothing wrong whatsoever with suggesting that Mitch Landrieu, the mayor of Louisiana, should be lynched. Historical monuments of our history. Under that way of thinking, one would expect him to also really? Monuments to getting your ass kicked? Monuments to the inhuman, subhuman bastards that your ancestors were? What kind of terminal fuck up does that? Let it be known, I will do all in my power to prevent this from happening in our state. Then, a couple of other good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, amosexual, Republican, pasty-faced, doughy members of the Mississippi legislature, they clicked like. On the post, and it may, for all I know, it's still up. Carl Oliver of Money, Mississippi. And then the entire Mississippi House of Representatives issued a statement. Like all members of the House, representing Oliver reserves the right to voice his opinion on any matter he chooses. However, that opinion does not necessarily reflect that of his fellow legislators. Well, thank you for that bold stance. I probably need not mention that the House of Representatives in the state of Mississippi is an almost entirely, though not entirely, a nearly entirely Republican operation. I said nearly because there is a representative by the name of Sonia Williams Barnes. She's a Democrat from Gulfport, Mississippi. She heads the Legislative Black Caucus in Mississippi. And she said to Mississippi Today, "The shameful but seemingly extremely comfortable choice of words used by my colleague, Representative Carl Oliver, were offensive to me, as the act of lynching was commonly used and most targeted toward African-American men, women, and children in the South, and especially in our state. I commend Louisiana's leaders for taking the brave stance to remove the offensive monuments from public areas in their city. It is time for Mississippi to make similar strides, as many in our state find the state flag offensive and non-representing of all Mississippi residents, because Mississippi still has the stars and bars in their flag, which, again, was not the Mississippi flag before the Civil War, or even immediately after the Civil War, or a couple of years past the Civil War, or a decade after the Civil War. The state flag of Mississippi was made that way as a warning and a straight up threat to people of color in that state to know their place. There are places in this country where the Civil War means absolutely nothing. California, mostly. Washington, Oregon. Yeah, Western states that weren't particularly involved. Might not even mean much in the northern and midwestern states anymore, because all those states did was send young men to fight and die in it. But because most of the fighting was done on Southern soil over issues that were created and made a problem by the South, passionate matter in the South. A lot of people point to the massacre at Mother Emanuel Church in Charleston as the beginning of the effort to not sanitize history, but simply stop revering evil people. You know, be like putting a statue of Hitler on top of the Brandenburg Gate in Berlin. Why do you memorialize evil? Why do you revere heinousness? But by God, the South does. Because there are some in the South who still want to make sure that people of color stay in their place. And, you know, Representative Sonia Williams Barnes of Gulfport responded with intelligence and with reason but I would not have held it against her had she really busted him one in the chops for it. Because I am not black. As such, I can only sympathize and attempt to empathize with the experience. I cannot know it any more than I can know the female experience. Or the Asian experience. I am white, male, and almost exclusively of European extraction. I am up to my nostrils in privilege. But to the extent that I can sympathize, I can empathize. And based on just how I feel, based upon my working, rock-solid, good knowledge of the history of the era, I can ask the question, how, when these statues went up, when these memorials went up, and every second of every minute of every day of every week of every month of every year that has passed since, how do these pasty-faced, doughy white people think people of color should feel upon any instance of seeing one of these damnable things? Oh, look, there's that memorial to the people who wanted to continue to enslave my ancestors and, well, gosh, they're just celebrating their history, so I guess I can live with that. Really? Tell us, so, you know, I do wish that old Mars Carl would be so kind as to go ahead and explain to people how they're supposed to feel about these heinous, hatefully evil monuments to anguish and separation. The greatest irony, of course, is that this now top 10 moron, he refers to people who take down these monuments as Nazis. Other people based upon perceived difference. Just enslaved and murdered people for the difference in skin color. Anton Carl Oliver, eight. Yeah, because I don't know. Could be representing Carl Oliver is a few parasols short of promenade. Know what I mean? I'm sure you do. But he's just the tip of the Moran iceberg. Oh, and by the way, Sparky tells me out in California, he says, we have a Civil War reenactment here every April, a fake Battle of Dog Island. Yeah, there were connections between California and the Albert Sidney Johnston left California to come and lead the Confederate Army. And he was the second best general that the Union had. The best being one Robert E. Lee. Both of whom decided they preferred to commit treason. And mercifully, not mercifully, but ironically, Albert Sidney Johnston didn't get to enjoy his treason for very long, having bled to death in his boot at Shiloh. But like I said, that is just the tip, Carl Oliver, of the Moran iceberg, where this issue is concerned. Now that Louisiana has removed its memorials to hatefully evil people, well, the state legislature of Baton Rouge, Louisiana, is taking action. They had 2 hours of speechifying in the Louisiana legislature, and the House voted 65-31 a week ago today. On a bill to prevent any more cities from removing any more monuments to any more traitors. After the vote, every single member of the Louisiana legislature, Louisiana House, who was black, walked out on the walked out of the House, just like 150 young graduates walked out of the Notre Dame commencement exercises this past Saturday, when Vice President Mike Pencilneck Geek began to speechify. The bill moves to the Senate in Louisiana. It would ban the removal of any plaque, statue, or other monument on public property commemorating a historic military figure or event unless local voters approve the removal in an election, which they're not going to do because heritage, not hate. You know, when you memorialize Confederate generals, it's like putting up a memorial to somebody for shooting themselves in the foot. General Eustace J. Thumbbutt, here on this spot, using a dueling pistol, shot himself right in the ass
and we proudly celebrate the heritage of shooting yourself in the ass. Right. Among other people, there's a jerk by the name of Carmody, C-A-R-M-O-D-Y, in Louisiana. And he said... this is something to get you by your throat, because it's so emotional. People have come forward and said, we would at least like the opportunity to vote on these statues. They basically belong to the public, and we are the public. That's when Representative Sam Jones of Franklin, Louisiana, said, by the way, do you think the Civil War was fought over slavery? Carmody immediately said, outing himself, why, no! Representative Jones said, well, do you think the South acted legally when it seceded? Yes, sir, I do. I'm telling you, we should have hung a few of them right after the end of the war. And then, there's, of course, Talibama, where they're considering similar legislation. So now, by way of putting some sort of little bow on it all, let's understand what right-wing Republicans are all about protecting. Or what, maybe perhaps more accurately put, what they're worried about. White wing Republicans in Merca, the greatest country in the history of the world, on earth, in the universe, now, today, forever, amen, under God. Republicans, white wing in this country, are worried about who goes potty where, about all Muslims, and about whether we have sufficient reverence for fuck-ups. That, by God, and here's the depressing part, that has proven to be an agenda upon which the stupid bastards can both campaign and win. What a country. Right? Yeah. Yeah, as Hoghead points out in the chat room, when the subject of slavery is written into the preamble of your Constitution, or, you know, when the subject of slavery is written directly into your articles of secession as the direct and driving force behind the secession, it was probably about slavery. It's moments like this you wonder if this country will ever get well. If this country will ever be healed from the wounds, the self-inflicted wounds, not of the Civil War, but of slavery. Update coming in from Manchester. Nineteen dead are confirmed at the Ariana Grande concert.
The Guardian saying that about 50 more have been injured. Witnesses are reporting hearing at least one explosion. People are being asked to avoid the area. And The Guardian, at least, is reporting it as a suspected terror incident. Happened in an arena, Manchester Arena. On the one hand, one explosion was reported to have hit the foyer of the building at about 10:30 p.m. British local time. And officials of the Manchester Arena say the incident took place outside the venue in a public space. One witness tells The Guardian the blast shook the building. What do you want to bet that this gets President Pretty Princess tweeting? I don't even want to think about it. Witnesses outside the arena are saying they were awakened by loud bangs of what they presumed were bombs going off. There are cops with guns all over the place. Francis Perraudin reporting small groups of people who appear to have been at the concert have been emerging, wrapped in blankets. One woman was shaking uncontrollably. Manchester police merely referring to it as a serious incident. At the Stephen Charles Snooker Club, a guy named Tyler, who works at the bar, said, "We've had a few people in with panic attacks and in all kinds of disarray. We've got four girls here trying to get them sorted to get picked up. There was a gentleman on the floor with his leg all bleeding and a woman with blood down one side of her face. We felt something but didn't know what it was. There was a sound like thunder. One girl had a panic attack and another had streaming tears. A woman had a heart attack just outside." Good God. No, bad God. Very bad God. I'll be honest. I don't know who Ariana Grande is. I should probably try to find out. One wonders if it is related to her or to, or is it just a random act of violence? Okay, American pop singer and actress. Started out on Broadway. Star on Nickelodeon. Okay. Let's check in with Tracy. Hey, Tracy.
Hey, Bob. How are you?
I'm okay, I guess.
How you feeling? How's your tummy?
Nope. Not eating anything, but doesn't hurt, and I've figured out a way to have enough energy to go out and do things like run the Weed Eater, so ahead of the game.
Well, that sounds good. You're ahead of the game. So we're having people killing folks. Who's late? Who has anybody claimed as to why they went ahead and killed a bunch of folks? Because, what, an American pop singer was performing in England?
No claim of responsibility as yet.
Okay. Yeah, I just heard about it a little. I was I'm in Hollywood, well, leaving Hollywood because I was trying out for Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Really, were you?
Yes, I had to take the test, and I did better on it than I expected to do, but not as well as well enough to actually make it past the testing. It wasn't as hard as, you know, probably at the Jeopardy test, but man, there were some pretty tough questions. But I already figured something else out, what I was going to do, because guess who was going to be my plus one?
Oh, no. You didn't even ask.
Who's going to be? I was going to ask you.
Well, okay.
I was going to ask you because I was going to.
Yeah, but see, you don't necessarily want to do that because you'll do your phone a friend and it'll be a question like, who's Ariana Grande? And I'll go, fuck if I know.
Well, I would have no. It would have been like an American history question or something like that. I wouldn't waste my no. See, no, you're plus one, sweetie. I'd have to fly you up to Vegas.
Oh.
Yes, because it's filmed in Vegas, and the plus one. Now,
and maybe we could after that we could road trip back to L.A. for a shrimp taco.
Yes, indeed. No. I'd have to fly you out to Vegas. You'd have to come. And no, because they film it in Vegas now.
I had no idea.
Yes. But some of the questions were, how many, which letter is the most prominent letter in the abbreviations for the states? It was like A, D, something like that. Or on the corners of the American flag, which... how many corners, how many is red, is the corner, is how many times is red in the corner, and it's three, isn't it? Stuff like that. Which Shakespeare character was when he's the green eye monster and that was Othello, stuff like that. That's, I was actually shocked that I knew that. And it's a process of elimination because the only reason why I figured, I guessed at that, and that was only because I knew enough about Shakespeare and Othello is because he was jealous of his woman.
Right.
And so that's the only reason why I figured that I guessed at that. Because I know about as much about, I
well, think that was a high quality, that was a high quality guess.
Right. And that's the, and like I said, is, you know, that's the thing about Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Because if you know, you know enough to be dangerous. If you've ever watched the show, it's just enough to be dangerous. But I'm like, who do I know that knows a lot, who knows more than enough to be dangerous?
No. Like, what? No. That's very nice of you to sugarcoat it, Tracy. Who do I know that knows a lot of useless, meaningless shit?
Well, see, I mean, because neither one of we would be fucked with if it was
I'm dead in the water for who. I'm dead in the water for who played the Cisco Kid, though. I am.
Wasn't that Harrison Ford?
No, it's a lot. No, it's a lot further back than that.
Cisco, I don't. Wait, wasn't the Cisco Kid? Wasn't that Harrison Ford or was that the Frisco Kid? Hey, Cisco. Oh right.
Old TV show.
Old TV show. Okay, then.
Duncan Rinaldo.
Oh, well, hell. Okay, see. That was, I'm sorry, that was the
And Leo Carrillo played Pancho.
Hey, Cisco. Okay, is that the one? Or
yeah.
Is that what we're
yeah,
talking
right.
about?
Yeah.
Well, I know that much.
was it War that did Cisco Kid was
okay,
a friend?
Was a friend of mine. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Cisco Kid was a friend of mine. Wow. See, you know, if it's pop culture, we're doomed. I think both of us are dead in the water. Except, I mean, is okay. If it, as long as it happened, you know, between 1960 in 1980, we're okay. I think between the two of us, we're okay. Maybe even 1990. Maybe. But this other stuff, like, okay, I don't know who.
Yeah, but Tracy, they're not going to feed you a steady diet of geezer questions.
Hey, I mean, no, okay. They asked, like, about, you know, like, if you ask, like, if what the French, okay, what the French calls, like, if you ask what, in France, what they call the Eiffel Tower, the French term for it is what? In French, is it, they said it in French, and I figured out it was La Dame.
La Tour Eiffel?
Yeah, now I figured, I said, because, now this is that, now I might have guessed wrong, but isn't it on the periodic table? Isn't the, for iron, it's Fe, right?
Yes.
So, I guess it was the Iron Lady, am I right?
Margaret Thatcher?
No. What does it mean? What is for the French? So what does it mean? What does it mean in English?
Eiffel was the designer.
Architect. No, I know, but you just said what is it? What is it? You just said what it was in French. What does that translate to in English?
Eiffel Tower, La Tour Eiffel.
Okay, yeah. So that was that, and then they said, oh no, there was something else they called it, and then there was something else. There was all these other things, and what they. Something is about dragons, and it was about the kimono. It was just all these other weird facts that I, like I said, there was stuff on there that I know that only you would know.
Now I'm whipped on that one.
Right. I mean, but there was just so many, and it was like about the, like I said, the American flag, and oh, and I'm sitting there looking at that stuff. Oh, and there was something about if you bought a ticket for, it was something about, what some weird word about a phonic, another way to say circus, a circus performer or something like that. Oh, and if you, something about if you were watching a orchestra, what section would be immediately on the left of the conductor? And I guessed it right. It was the violins. I mean, like I said, I know I got more right than I got wrong. But I'm like, who knows this shit?
When do you find this out?
No, I found out today. They do it right away. They, because it's all on Scantron. And there was a room full of us. There was 24 people in that room, Bob. Out of the 24, only five got called, made it to the second round.
Wow. Well, I can tell you. I mean, I'm honored and everything, but I know who your plus one would need to be.
Who?
Eugene Finnerman.
Who the hell is Eugene Finnerman?
He's been on the program from time to time. He does Your RDA of Irony. He was at one point in time the second winningest Jeopardy champion ever, before they changed the rules and made you and didn't make you leave.
Oh, you mean they make you leave? At what point do they make you leave?
No, they used to.
Oh, they used to make you leave.
Yeah.
Oh, I know he's hot. So in other words, he probably would have been on the show for a long time.
No, I think he went back for an alumni taping, but I don't know. They might not let you use Eugene Finnerman. They'd go, oh, no, we know him. You know him? Oh, I know him. Yeah, had him in my cab.
Yeah.
We're buddies.
Yeah, it was so funny. That's my homeboy from, you know, way back. No, but what's funny, so, because they, you know, they send you an application and everything, and they ask you, you know, to tell a funny story about you, or have you ever been on the game show before? And I'm like, actually, I have been on the game show before. And it was on the show called Wipeout. It was either 88 or 89. I can't remember. And anyway,
probably 88 because Alex was a baby and I was still nursing. So, you know, if you've ever been on a game show, they tape the shows 5 days a week, and they do it, you know, they tape 5 shows a day. So I'm there and I'm a nursing mother. And they decide to have me there all day, and I'm the last show being taped. Now, of course, I have run out, if anybody that knows about nursing, you have to keep pads with you because mothers have a tendency to leak if they're breastfeeding, right? So I have been there all day. My breast, now, this is, I'm sorry, but this is probably going to freak out some of the, you know, the lighthearted, you know, horn listeners, but we've probably talked about worse stuff on this.
No, this is a pretty liberal, I mean, the Horn Family Community Congregation is pretty much down with natural processes.
Okay, so this is a natural process. So I am, by the end of the day, I am engorged. And so I am feeling, so I'm kicking ass on the show, Bob. I've made it to the second, to like the third round. I've eliminated 2 or 3 other people, and it's down to me and this other chick, right?
Yeah, you're not leaving. Now, you're not leaving no year's supply of rice around the San Francisco treat.
No. It's between me and the last one other contestant. So the question is, name states that border the Atlantic Ocean. And I'm like, I got this. I know this shit, right? But I am beginning to feel that my breasts are about to leak. I'm on national television. I mean, of course, it's a taped show, but I know when the show is being taped, I'm going to be on national television, Bob. And because I'm like, I'm not about to leak, I'm not about to leak on national television. So I say New Hampshire, because the only thing I'm thinking about is, I just want off the show.
Well, that borders the Atlantic Ocean.
New Hampshire?
Yeah.
What did I say?
Vermont?
I said something. I think I said Vermont, something. I don't remember what it was, but it was something that I knew did not border the Atlantic Ocean because I wanted off that camera because the only thing I could think of was I'm about to leak. So I flubbed the question so I could get off the camera and get to the bathroom, but quick, so I could put tissue in my bra. Because the only thing I could think of was, oh, my God, breast milk on national television.
And this well, in 1988, it would have been a national scandal.
That would have been scandalous, Bob. That, you know, this was before, you know, Beyonce, you know, wearing her breast, I mean, not her breast, her baby bump on national television and all.
Oh, no, no, this isn't the Janet Jackson wardrobe malfunction. And the nipple of doom.
This is before YouTube and, you know, Twitter and all this sort of stuff. This is before how many, you know, could you, I mean, right now, that would have been no big deal but in 88, are you kidding me? It would have been a scandal. This is before, you know, Monica Lewinsky giving Bill Clinton a blowjob. You know, this would have been a scandal. I would have been a national laughing stock. I mean, they would, more than likely, they would have edited out or anything like that, but could you imagine? Holy mother of God. It would have been, oh my God. I just couldn't imagine, I could not imagine what would have happened had my breast started leaking on national television. Like I said, I answered the question wrong just so I can get off of the camera. And then, of course, I think, you know who I think, I can't remember, but I think Bob Eubanks was the host of the show. Or Wink Martindale or somebody. I would love if I could find the tape of that show. I think that would be...
It wasn't Chode Johnson? I'm sorry. All the game show host names. I mean, you know.
The show didn't even last.
The last great game show host died with Gene Rayburn was the last great game show host.
Oh yes, Match Game. Gene Rayburn. He was a class. just that, you know, they brought that last game back, and it's not the same. It's like when they brought back Family Feud. It's not the same because it's just.
Nah, I'm sorry, Steve Harvey, not a fan.
Not a fan. And ever since, you know, when he went and ran up all up in Trump's face, you know, he met with Trump and.
He went and kissed the ring.
And Sleepy Con Ben Carson. You know, why? I think it was Malcolm X that talked about when the politicians, they don't go meet the black, they don't go and try to talk to the black leader, the leaders of the black community. They go run up and talk to the comedians. Who the fuck cares about what Steve Harvey has to say?
I'm not one of them.
Steve Harvey is so cool as the size of the Mississippi.
That's on you.
Go ahead and do the disclaimer.
Oh, no, it's just... Yeah.
First of all, he left his first wife and his children and all that. I have no respect for a man that don't take care of his kids. I have no respect for a man who basically is a buffoon. He's a clown. And he don't do. He has nothing. He ain't got nothing for me. I used to think he was funny. In fact, years ago, I went to see him. He did a comedy show, gut busting. I was rolling in. I was laughing. Damn near. I was in tears. You're laughing so hard, you can't catch your breath because you're laughing so hard, and you can't breathe. And you don't even hear stuff because you're laughing so hard that you don't hear yourself. You can't hear anybody talking because the laughter's in your ears. That's just how funny it was. But when he got to become it's like the Highlander. There could be only one. When white folks get to that point where there could only be one Grand Supreme Negro, and right now it's Steve Harvey. And he seems to be the spokesperson for all Negroes here and now. I can't stand, and he's lapping that shit up. I ain't got time for people like this. Uncle Tom, Steve Harvey. I don't have time. He's. I don't know what happened to Steve Harvey. I don't know if he just got paid. That's what I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That's what happened.
Steve Harvey and Steve Harvey and Drew Carey are the same guy with different melanin content. They were both reasonably funny people who got permanent gigs. And you know what?
Yep.
I mean, look, on that end of it, no fight from me. You know what? The life of a comedian is damnably difficult. Town to town, playing shitty little comedy clubs. Occasionally, you get Letterman or Colbert, or one of the late night shows. Maybe you get an HBO gig, but it's hard as hell. So if you get a paying gig, getting leaped on by crazy people, you'll take the gig. But when you turn into a right-wing asshole in the process, it's kind of, at one point in time, Tim Allen was fabulously popular during the Home Improvement era.
Yeah.
And his early comedy was brilliant and funny. So he turned
brilliant.
In. He
turned,
but he turned into a right-wing dickhead.
Yes.
And he got some situation comedy where he got to play a right-wing dickhead.
It fell. Yes.
And now it's been canceled.
You've heard about that. Now he's saying it's all politics.
It's politics. He's being persecuted for his Republican family values.
Oh, spare me.
Oh, you forgot, you know, your Republican family values when you form a cocaine dealer.
Well, we all make mistakes.
As long as you're white.
Well, there's that. There's that. Yes.
It's like, you know, Trumping in Saudi Arabia, like loving all those Muslims as long as they're rich Muslims. And
well, I was going to point that out, Tracy. You know, we are constantly reminded of the state of near total warfare between Muslims and Jews.
Mm-hmm.
But lo and behold, I watched that thing Saturday, and there was Orthodox Jew Jared Kushner swanning mm-hmm. all over the room, being, mm-hmm. hi, how are you, hail fellow well-metted, by all kinds of majestic, royal, noble, serene, high graciousnesses of the Muslim faith. And you know what? You would have sworn they were drinking buddies.
Yeah, but they're not supposed to be drinking, right?
Well, no, but then there's this, too. They were all rich.
Rich.
Now, bear in mind, any one of those little minor Saudi serene, noble, majestic, high graciousness princelings could have bought, could have afforded to buy Jared Kushner for what he thinks he's worth and sold him for what he's worth.
Right.
But it was, you know, it was the club.
I love that thing.
It was the club, and everybody's rich here, so mm-hmm. nobody's going to have to kill anybody for religion. Because we all know that the only religion in operation here is the worship of that ancient and most vicious god, not Allah, not Yahweh, but Mammon.
Mammon. Get it? I mean, and then Ivanka. Now, lest we forget not Gethsemane, but lest we forget how Hillary was getting reamed about the Clinton Foundation taking money from foreign, you know, entities.
Oh my God! The Clinton Foundation. Jesus Christ! All that. She's gonna start World War III. Goldman Sachs speeches. Son of a.
In her. Emails, and this bitch here getting $100 motherfucking $1 million from the Saudis
and the United Emirates. Come on,
and the United Emirates.
Mm-hmm.
$100 million. Wasn't that more than what?
Yes, yeah, so we could. There are several mathematical ways to respond to. She's getting a tenth of $1 billion. She's getting $0.1 billion for a foundation that nobody even knows what it does. At least with the Clinton Global Foundation, goddamn, pay to play access, World Secretary of State. But her emails, well, they did actually do philanthropic work.
We know what it did.
But you know what? With Ivanka's foundation, it's going to be like something that.
What does it do?
Well, it's going to be like something W.C. Fields used to say. I always give to charity. I like to give to the poor. Poor me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Ivanka's charity is going to help the poor. Poor Ivanka.
Poor Ivanka, because it ain't gonna.
And then, like Carol said a little bit ago, poor little Tiffany just gets the fucking MAGA hat.
Yeah, I mean, now Tiffany is like Barron. We don't hear shit about Tiffany. We don't hear nothing about Barron. Speaking of Barron, Barron's mama. Did you see the slap away of the hand when he tried?
Wasn't that a beautiful thing? Yes. And the women, even the right. Well, I played the audio from The View earlier. Even the right wing woman on The View was like, "Been there, done that. Don't try to hold my hand.
Don't try to hold my hand, bitch. Don't try to. Don't even. whenever, when I was watching on those ill-fated moments when I'm in the room or when I get sucked in and I was watching when they were getting on to Air Force One, and he gets on the plane, and she, just to start, when you talk about a stark difference between a couple, between Michelle and Barack Obama and those two.
Well, you know, when Michelle went to Saudi Arabia and she didn't put the headgear on.
Oh yeah, it was just
she was a hussy.
Mm-hmm. Now this bitch here, she's just standing up for women's rights.
Yeah, until she wasn't.
Until she wasn't.
Until she went to Israel and didn't try to go pray where God likes men better.
Man, but this whole thing, if it's not just the parallel, just the things, the same things that he's, you know, the fact that he's, his whole presidency, his whole, how long has he been president now? What is this? We're slipping into darkness. Slipping into June. I'm sorry. Did I say slipping into darkness?
Well, you did, but it's accurate, so you can be forgiven.
I'm sorry. Slipping into June. Did or did not Richard Nixon go running off to Saudi Arabia when his ass was about to be thrown into the fire?
I don't know. I missed that.
I think he, because after watching, because everybody's doing all these parallels between Nixon and, T-Rump. And he skedaddled to a foreign, because he didn't want, you know, he figured if he was in a foreign country, nothing could happen. You know, everything would just cease, everything would stop. So, you know, nobody could come after him in a foreign country. But I find it just, but what's tickling me is that he's tweeted, he hasn't tweeted the whole time. Did somebody take his phone away from him? Or is it he's afraid of those service charges while he's away, that he would incur the foreign fee?
No, I really do. I think somebody's gotten hold of him and said, listen, I know you don't listen to anybody. I know you can't learn. But if you want to keep being president, you got to just stick to the script over there. Do what you're told. Shut the fuck up. But he couldn't, because he did that thing in Israel today where he said,
yeah, what happened? Because I just came from Saudi Arabia or the Middle East.
Yeah, I was just in the Middle East. He says it in Israel. Let's put it this way. If he had had to audition to be on The Apprentice, he never would have made the second callback. But that wasn't the best one. The best one was when he pre-impeached himself. The news conference with Bibi, where he said,
"No, see, what did he do, Bob?
I didn't tell anybody it was Israeli. I didn't tell anybody it was Israeli intelligence. I didn't say Israeli." When nobody said, he said Israeli.
He just impeached. He just told on himself.
Uh-huh.
Well, see, you know what? I had an aunt that it was.
And honest to God, you remember the old Warner Brothers cartoons? Honest to God, if BB could have, he would have done that Bugs Bunny thing where he holds up a placard with a screw and then holds up another poster with a ball on it.
Yeah. Well, you know, I had an aunt. She was, I think Trump took lessons online from my aunt. I had an aunt, it was two aunts and my dad. And my aunt Shirley was just incredibly skinny. My aunt Sandra used to say the reason why my aunt Shirley was so skinny was because she had to run around town to keep up with the lies. That's why she was so skinny.
Ooh.
So that's why.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
You know, that, I hope you'll forgive me if I say that is a just beautifully classic black family thing to say. I say that as a white guy. Yeah.
But it's true, because my aunt, and this is the same person that lied so much that cheated me out of a quarter of a $1 million inheritance. Because that's just how courageous of a liar, how adept at lying she was.
Whoa.
Still is. Yeah, $250,000 of an inheritance. I'm not at all bitter. Well, not
much.
Not as much as I was.
Much.
Not as much as I was. Much. Right. But no, I mean, because of her lies, my son and I got cheated out of $250,000 inheritance. But that's the kind of liar she was. Still is. I don't know. I guess she's still alive. But yeah, she stayed so skinny because she had to run around town keeping up with her lies. You know, because a liar. So that's why I'm saying, you know, Trump is a liar, not as good as a liar as my aunt, because he's still fat. I'm sorry. That was uncalled for.
Nothing is uncalled for here.
But it's just, even the man, when he talks about, because I heard a part of his speech that he gave in Saudi Arabia, when he talks about it's going to, you know, hundreds of millions of jobs, you know, because of the jobs. Now, riddle me this, Batman, because, you know, I'm not as astute as a lot of the horn listeners, and I'm not as up on current events or even a lot of events, but is it or is it not true that the architects of 9/11, were they or were they not from Saudi Arabia, Bob?
15 of 19 of them were, yes. And Saudi Arabia is also not on the Muslim ban, and we got a pretty good idea of why.
Okay. 15 out of 19 of the motherfuckers that were responsible for 9/11. And you're going to this country, and you're selling them openly. I know we sell them, you know, arms. I know what we do. That's just how the world works. But at least it's through behind closed doors. Obama did, you know, didn't do shit out in the open. It's through the CIA and all this. Woo-da-woo, woo-da-woo. That's why they were so happy that Trump is president, because he's an idiot. And they knew they could bamboozle him and anything. And they knew that anything that Obama wouldn't do, he would do in spades. And just be happy about it. Not only am I going to do it, but I'm going to do it bigly. Right?
And crookedly.
Am I on the right track?
And crookedly.
Right. And crookedly. So I'm going to go to Saudi Arabia. I'm going to go to Saudi Arabia and do the biggest bigly deal I can possibly do. And some of these cock-sucking motherfuckers, how big was the deal, Bob, that the arms deal for Saudi Arabia?
110 billion, you know, tomato, tomato.
Okay. And then how much did my man's daughter get? The de facto first lady of America, how much did the de facto FLOTUS get for her?
$100 million.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's straight out of Rain Man. How much was the arms deal, Raymond? About $100 million. How much did Ivanka get? About $100
million. But everything's okay. Everything is copacetic.
Awesome.
Everybody
getting paid.
And we're supposed to sit back and eat this shit sandwich that's called the Trump's regime and just take it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the happy part of my weekend, though, was hearing about people walking out of Mike Pence's commercial.
Yeah, that was kind of sweet. I watched the video.
So, I mean, there was a ray of happy sunshine in my weekend when I heard that people were like, fuck, that made me even happier than them walking, them my brothers and sisters walking out and turning their backs and booing Betsy DeVos. Because these are white people. Oh, did you hear about the white people saying we shall overcome in Iowa?
No. This may be the absolute, this may be the perfect capstone to Maureen Monday.
I forget which representative it was, but it was at a town hall meeting. No, it was not a Maureen Monday moment. It was at a town hall meeting, man. I don't remember. Oh, I'm so mad at myself. But they were pissed off at their representative or their senator. I forget which one it was. But these white folks in Iowa, Bob, stood up during the town hall meeting because he was doing bullshit as usual. And they stood up and started singing, "We Shall Overcome." So now you know y'all in trouble when white folks in Iowa stand up and start singing, "We Shall Overcome." I'm surprised you didn't hear about that.
No, I didn't. I got to look it up after the program. Which, by the way, Tracy, I hate to admit it, is over. But thank you, dear.
But that was the perfect. That was the perfect way to end the show.
I would say, absolutely. We shall overcome.
We shall overcome
someday. I'd sing it too white. Tracy, have a good night, dear.
You too, my love.
Talk to you later. Bye.
Good night.
Yeah, how many other radio programs saying we shall overcome to end the program? I know. Thank you, Tracy. All right, here we are, end of the program. More than a minute and a half past the end of the program. Time to get out of here. And we will end the program and begin tomorrow night's program, depending on what the overnight crew does, with a $400 fundraising goal. That's okay. Thanks, everybody. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Sparky, and thank you to our news ninjas and John Fox and Ben Birch and all the folks at Cold River Mountain Watch, and always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all.